This game was back and forth and had everyone on edge.
I knew I had a good group of girls to work with. If I could just get them to invest in flag football, I know that we could be good.
It felt like I was coaching for the first time in my career as a head coach.
Comes in, does a circle around the stadium.
Of course he does. The dramatics.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so. And we have co-pilots this week. It's a bit of a different setting because of all of the activity going on in the next month here around the country. And GPB has its part. You might have been watching programming on GPB with all of the debates with candidates who are chasing after elected office. And for the next month, the GPB is going to be doing a lot of that. So Hannah and I are doing this week's remotely as you're looking at the video version. And Hannah's got some company where I'm here in my office and Hannah's in her house, but you've got a co-pilot this week.
Yeah, I'm in my guest room. So since we were having the debates, John and I got kicked out of GPB. So here we are at home, the sports team's at home. Yep. And I have got my Boston Terrier, Luna.
Luna is like, oh, can I go now?
She's our old lady. She's 10 in February, and she's here to help us out with the podcast today, John.
She's like, okay, here's how I'll help you out. Can I go now? That's
where's
what
Rowdy? Is. Where's Rowdy?
Rowdy is with the boss. Rowdy is up on the Rowdy's up on the mid-level sleeping because he has had breakfast, and so he's hanging out with the boss while she, you know, he's got to protect her. That's his number one job here at Office HD, is to make sure that the boss, meaning my wife Patty, is protected 24/7, and so that's what he's doing upstairs. And so, by the way, before we go any further, we have a new friend.
Oh, let's see. And you weren't wrong. Luna is really trying to leave. So
yeah, Luna's out the door.
You're done with your job.
Yeah, Luna's out.
Good job.
Courtesy of our friends in Swainsboro.
Ooh, let's see it. Oh, that's a nice one. Gold.
Yeah.
Gold and black.
Yeah. Swainsboro. Swainsboro is the, you see, there we go. And so this is brought to us by our friends in Swainsboro, Coach Roberts and everybody there.
So that looks like a new helmet. That doesn't look as chipped up as they normally do.
It is a 2019.
Okay. So, not too bad.
Yeah. So no, this one is, I mean, it's got some chipping and some paint trading that has been worked on, but yeah, thanks to our friends. Once again, thanks to our friends there in Swainsboro. So we have a new friend that is going to be added to the stacks, and we will show that off again Thursday for countdown to kickoff. We will show that in the studio. And coming up a little later on in the show, Hannah has some new things that she gets to add to her wardrobe. And so, we're teasing that just so you can make sure that you get to hang out and see what's going on.
I know. I'm excited to see him. Well, all right. Well, here's what else is coming up on the rest of the show. We're going to recap our Football Fridays in Georgia game of the week, Mill Creek versus Buford. Some heavy weights in that one. Yep. Take a look at what happened in big games around the state. Preview Friday's matchup between Carrollton and Westlake. And that'll lead us to Brooks County head coach Maurice Freeman and a flag football update as well. And we will hear from Southeast Bullock coach in flag. So I'm really excited for today's show, John. Let's get right to it. Let's recap our game. It was a huge one. Region 8 7A matchup, Mill Creek, Buford, Tom Ryden Stadium. On top of it all, though, you had Kirby Smart there.
Yeah.
You had the Ohio
skin from helicopter. Right? Yeah.
I know. You saw the helicopter circling around and landing with Kirby Smart. The Ohio State head coach Ryan Day was there. Over 10 NFL reps in attendance. What was the atmosphere like before the game, John?
About 10,000 people. Let's see. Sean Elliott from Georgia State was there. His staff was represented. I saw a couple of SoCon coaches from Samford, East Tennessee State. You had two representatives from the University of Alabama, no Nick Saban, considering he had a game to lose in Knoxville the next day. So he had two coaches there. Del McGee was there before Kirby Smart was for the University of Georgia. Georgia Tech was represented. Mercer was represented. West Georgia was represented. You had a lot of folks there. But wow. I think also, if you're a fan of certain teams in the particular conference where it just means more, the fact that you didn't have coaches there might be more of an eyebrow raiser for you. But it's one of the louder environments that we've been in quite some time. 8,200, I think, 8,000 seats. Then you had another 1,000 or 1,200 in walk-up plus band plus passes. That put it to about 10,000, according to Dexter Wood from Buford High. But no, it was a fantastic environment. It was great to see everybody there. And it was a packed house, packed sidelines. And it was a fun one. And hopefully we got to convey that on GPB, just how crazy an atmosphere it was just even before kickoff.
I mean, when you have two of the top players in the state going to Alabama and mm-hmm. Caleb Downs and Justice Haynes, Kirby Smart's like, I'm going to make an appearance.
Yeah. And honestly, it was straight out of a movie. And that was why I kind of played it that way, because you look to the Northeast, you look toward Athens, and seriously, like about 10 of seven, you just see this one spotlight coming at you with a West Cam and a helicopter, and you kind of know who it is. And so he's making the entrance, not a cloud in the sky. You just see like pink sky behind, and you see a helicopter just working its way from the Northeast. And then of course, what does he do? Instead of going straight to the practice field, the upper practice field, the land comes in, does a circle around the stadium.
Of course he does. The dramatics.
Kind of has the pilot kind of dip the wing a little bit, so you could dip the rotor a little bit, so you can kind of take a peek.
Give a wave from the door.
I did not see a wave as the helicopter was making its bank, but you know, it was one of those moments that you sit there, and that's what it's all about these days with high-powered high school football and the college coaches that are attached to it. But no, it was definitely one of those moments where it was straight out of a movie. And it's like, you're just waiting for it. Like, you know, one of those movies, that literally the helicopter is the only thing coming. You just have the and great work by our guys on top of the press box, by the way, to get that whole thing and cut together. But no, it was definitely a moment that was befitting of the evening. No doubt about it.
Well, let's talk more about the game and Justice Haynes. So the Wolves become the favorite to win the region once again with the 39-27 win. Justice Haynes was our Cotton Commission player of the game. He rushed 20 times for 216 yards and two scores. So this game was back and forth and had everyone on edge, but Buford finally pulled away in the fourth. John, what was your assessment of the fourth quarter and of the momentum shifts in the game?
Well, I mean, there's just the sheer depth that you got to see of both of these teams. And, early on, Buford gets out to that big lead, and then Mill Creek works their way back in. But then just the depth and when you can hand the ball off to someone like a Justice Haynes there in the fourth quarter to get those key first downs, to get the clock moving when the game was a 12-point game and you needed to work some clock, you end up with a drive, I think, that took up just under 5 minutes, and that ate up half the quarter right there to try to solidify things. You didn't get another score out of it, but you end up flipping the field, and Mill Creek would have to work from the right-hand side of the screen all the way down to the left, and they didn't quite do it, and that was how the margin ended up at 12. Just, fantastic work by both of these teams, and I know that as we're all plotting out our brackets, we're anticipating seeing them very, very deep in the 7A playoffs come this year.
Let's take a look around the rest of the state. We'll start up north. Two ranked teams battled it out for the top spot in Region 8, Single A Division 1. Raven County defeated Elbert County 41-21. In Cobb County, Cambridge versus Kell was also for the lead in that region, Region 6, 5A. Cambridge beat Kell 42-24. In the east, Aquinas versus Lincoln County was a great game in Region 8, Single A Division 2. Lincoln County pulled out the win 28-24. In Central Georgia, Region 2 AAA rivalry with two great defenses. That one happened in Fort Valley. Peach County beat Mary Persons 35-18. And finally, John, one of the biggest games of the night, in my opinion. This one was in South Georgia. Early County was 7-0 heading into Friday's game. Already clinched the Region 1 Single A Division 2 title. The Bobcats had a non-region game against Brooks County, who had not played in 3 weeks. That didn't matter because the Trojans beat the Bobcats 34-7. What a wild game for Maurice Freeman.
No doubt about it. So let's go ahead and hear from the man, the head coach of the victorious Brooks County Trojans. Here he is, Maurice Freeman, as he always brings the hammer. Hanging out with us batting leadoff this week is a man who finally got to play a football game after a couple of weeks off. Maurice Freeman, the head coach of Brooks County. Coach, thanks for hanging out with us here on the podcast. What was it like to finally play a game after a couple of weeks?
I couldn't believe it. I was so nervous. It was ridiculous, man. It felt like I was coaching for the first time in my career as a head coach. 28 days, the month of February, is how long it took us to play a ball game. And we were very excited about it. So, you know, just didn't want to get overly excited and didn't want the kids to be kind of out of whack because we were so excited and they were excited. And we were worried about them playing flat and, or going out playing too fast and just giving out of gas quickly. You know, but I'm glad it got there and we got a chance to play.
Well, you certainly didn't skip a beat. You go 5-1 with a 34-7 win over Early County. That had to feel good. So 28 days, you haven't played since September 16th. Do you have more confidence now in the team that, look, we can go all this time and still come out with the win?
No. I don't want that again. No. I need to play every week so we can practice and have something to look forward to. I was about to check in the rehab, man. I was in shape.
So for those that don't know why you were off for a month of Fridays, go into that, because I know that you had some bye weeks that were wrapped up into that. There was a game that was supposed to happen. But for those that don't know why you were off for so long, break that down.
We played Bainbridge, was a 4A school, won a state title a couple of years ago, pretty doggone good football team. So I wanted a bye week after them, because normally when you're a Class A school and you're playing a 4A or 5A school, you have a tendency to get beat up pretty good. And so I wanted that bye week behind that week so we could get healthy. And then we had homecoming, which was Pike. And then we had a bye week so that they could get all that homecoming mess out of their system. Turns out we didn't have a homecoming. Pike decided not to play. We look on Max Prep. Pike has another team.
Mm-hmm.
So they are playing and we are not. And there was nothing we could do about it. Georgia High School Association has no jurisdiction over Alabama schools. So there was nothing we could do about it but start looking for other schools. And in the state of Georgia, there weren't very many that we could play that were open, except for Ware County. And we just finished playing a doggone 4A school. So I really did not want to get into that. I wanted to play, but I didn't want to play because they are pretty doggone physical also. And then some school out of Maryland called. Turns out it was a prep school. And they got 20 and 21-year-olds. So we decided we weren't going to play all the old people. I don't think they had any eligibility left. So we didn't have anybody to play. So we went 28 days without a daggone football game, man. And I was about to check in the Greenleaf.
Well, we're glad that you did not check in. So what did those 3 weeks look like for you and the team?
Explaining to the team why we weren't playing, explaining to the fans why we weren't playing, explaining to my principal and everybody why we were not playing. And then people were looking, fans were looking at other teams. And when they said open, they thought they needed a game. So people were bombarding me with teams saying, "Hey, coach, they got an opening." No, they don't. They didn't have an opening. So I had to try to re-explain that. It became kind of frustrating. And then just practicing, beating on each other, and not seeing another colored uniform, that was tough. That was tough. So you had one stretch where you said, "We might have a game." No, we don't. "We might have a game." No, we don't. And that was depressing for the players and for the coaches and for the fans. We got a football crazy community down here. They love the great game of football. And for us to go that long without a game, man, we needed a fix in a bad way. So it was tough.
Even John was trying to find you a game, coach.
I'm serious. I mean, we were on the show every week, and it was either on this one or on Friday night when I explained the situation with Pike Liberal Arts. Because it wasn't just you, it was Bowden and Rich Finley, who also got into that same situation because they had them plotted in their schedule just as well. So it was both you and Bowden that got taken off the board by Pike Liberal Arts. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, look, need a game, got a game. They're looking for stuff with, you know, and so I was literally openly canvassing, trying to help out in that process for that whole month.
Well, that's not an easy deal to do, John. We've got a decent football team down here. And you know for yourself, 4 and 5A schools don't want to play a Class A school if they got a chance of losing. Mm-hmm. Because you not only lose that game, you stand a chance of losing your job. So I understand that. And we wanted a like opponent, we wanted a Class A or Double A school. But you know, I claim I'll play anybody, and I will just about play anybody. But that doesn't go well with administrators sometimes when a Class A school says they'll play you, and you jump on that ship, and then you mess around and you take a L. Now you got a problem. You got some things to explain.
Oh man, I know. And you're also combining all of that with being in, you know, and like I said, and when we had the discussion when I came down to visit, you're in a mini region, MINI, where you've only got a handful of games, you've got to sprint, and then you're in the playoffs, and you've got to figure out, okay, I've got Bainbridge, I've got Pike Liberal Arts, I've got all of these other schools as a part of this non-region schedule. And you had that as a problem to begin with. And then when folks are bailing out, it adds to the problem. But I don't think folks understand that it's really a problem in three dimensions that's been created because of all that stuff.
And I still have that same problem next year now.
Oh, man.
That's
so
true.
As soon as this season's over, I've got to try to find a team. And it's probably not a team out of Georgia. It's probably a team out of Florida. I'm a little nervous about teams out of Alabama now. So, but I still have a problem.
Well, we certainly hope that you can get that fixed. You got some time until next season. So I have some faith, Coach, that you can bring it together. Let's talk region play. You're 0-0. You get your region opener next Friday. Well, this coming Friday against Irwin County. That is going to be such a good game. It's going to be on my top five games list to watch. Preview that one for us. What's it going to take to get your first region win?
You know what? You got to go back to, we lost a state title to Irwin. We won a state title versus Irwin. Now we're playing again for, this was really in our region, four team region. This is probably safe to say, this is for the region title.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, Pelham is struggling. Bacon is struggling. We're the two teams that are two top dogs in this region. So this is first and second place. It's a big ball game. Glad it's here at Brooks. We'll make some money, and we need home field advantage. We need our fans to come out and just be crazy and just have us a great time. But these are two well-oiled teams that play some real good physical football, and it prepares you for the playoffs. And, you know, who knows? We might see each other again later on down the line.
You've got some great playmakers too, Coach. Running back Chris Cole rushed for 112 yards on 15 carries, and his two fourth quarter touchdowns put the game away against Early. Talk about him and what is working on your offense.
Well, Cole is a young running back. He's doing well. He's getting better week by week. We are being very patient with him. He's a sophomore and not trying to push him too hard. And he was banged up a little early in the season. So we've taken our time with him, and we feel like now he's progressing, and we're waiting for him to explode. I'm waiting to see him have a 200-yard night. That'll be big time. So we're expecting that. Jamal Sanders, our quarterback, is going to do his thing. You know, Jamal, he throws the ball well. He runs the ball well. So hopefully we can have a two-headed monster real soon.
All right. At the end of the Recruiting 2022 show, we always have the segment called Make That Kid an Offer, where Hannah, Matt, and I, we kind of canvass the state, and we ask coaches all around the state for submissions for athletes that either, for whatever reason, they're not tall enough, they're not big enough, they're not whatever, they're being overlooked. Is there someone or a couple of someones down there in Quitman that would qualify as either make that kid an offer or make that kid a better offer from what you've seen from your team so far this year through six games?
Of course, Jamal Sanders, our quarterback, which is an athlete, Kamari Blankensee, which is outside linebacker, and Jonathan Henderson, which is another outside linebacker, strong safety. All three of those guys have a couple of offers, Albany State, Fort Valley. They've got a couple of offers. And I'm not slighting those at all. I'm a guy that wants these kids to have quality education. But I feel as though that they are under-recruited. They all have the GPA, the SAT, ACT scores. They've got everything that you need. And it looks like they got a lot of room to grow. They don't mind working in the weight room. They don't mind working track and things of that nature. So I'm looking for some more teams to come in and make those three kids an offer.
For those who are watching the video version of this, early on, Hannah had some co-piloting that was going on there in her studio. Now, which one was that, Jack, or who was that?
This is Luna.
Okay, it's Luna. Okay, so Luna was hanging out with Hannah, and Luna is not wanting to be on camera. My question for you, Coach, is where's Hammer?
Hammer's in the backyard. He's kind of hanging out back there. He's stretching and doing his thing back there. And I'm in the front. I'm on the front porch, as a matter of fact. But he's in the back, so I better leave him back there. He doesn't interview well.
Apparently.
Well, that was going to be my question on the post-game show. We always ask coaches where they're calling in from. So I was going to ask you where you're calling in from, because it looks beautiful.
Yeah, there's a pond back there.
Look at that. That's gorgeous.
That's the fishing pond.
Yeah, it's my pond. It's a pond back. It's my front porch.
That's gorgeous. Well, Coach, we'll let you go. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Monday afternoon. And we'll let you go and enjoy the day.
Have a good day. Thanks.
Maurice Freeman, head coach of the Brooks County Trojans, hanging out with us here on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. It's fun when we get to see coaches in that kind of an environment where Maurice, yeah, he's on his front porch. That was definitely something that we did not anticipate with Maurice. I thought it might have been like a school setting or something like that. No, he's on his front porch and he's got his fishing pond behind him. I thought that was really, really cool. That's one of our two guests this week. Our other guest coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk a little flag football.
Yeah, I'm excited. So we had the Clash of Champions last Thursday. It was a huge success, as we all knew it would. So many eyeballs on the stream game. The tournament featured Southeast Bullock. They beat Hillgrove 13-0. Archer defeated Portal 6-0. Marietta took down the host West Forsyth 19-0. So three blankings, John. You were on the sidelines for all of the action. Tell me your biggest takeaways from the Clash of Champions.
Well, first off, shout out to Brett Phipps and everybody up at West Forsyth to make sure that it would go off without a hitch. And all right, so since for those who are watching on the video version, I'm going to violate a TV tenet here. So hang on just a second. I have some things that are for.
What did you do, John?
Okay, so here, as promised. Once again, and this is from Brett and everybody at West Forsyth. This goes.
Oh, my T-shirt.
Your inaugural Clash of Champions T-shirt with the date and location, and on the back. Once again, thanks to our friends at West Forsyth, you have your matchup page.
Okay, that's cool.
And down at the bottom, there's three letters.
Our logo, GPV.
So that's one that came from our friends at West Forsyth.
I'm wearing that on the podcast next Monday.
Well, and also, in addition to that, we also have, from our friends at Portal, we have their homecoming T-shirt.
Oh, my gosh, John. Thank you.
B-Town Panthers. There's Portal, and once again, right there, Panthers down the spine. But yes, it is a P-Town. Cool. It is a P-Town T-shirt for Hannah. So Hannah gets two more T-shirts to add to her stacks, thanks to our friends at Portal and West Forsyth for Clash of Champions. So it'll be fun to catch up with Marcy Cochran coming up in just a little bit to get the lay of the land from Southeast Bullock and find out what it was like to go from Brooklet to West Forsyth High School. And I mean, that's a field trip. That's a pack of lunch and a dinner and maybe a midnight snack field trip for them to be involved. But it's great to see them and great to have everybody who was paired up in that one for those three matchups there for Clash of Champions, the inaugural Clash of Champions here for flag football here with the GHSA in 2022.
Well, let's go ahead and catch up with Coach Cochran and get her perspective on the day as well. Southeast Bullock flag football head coach Marcy Cochran joining us now from her car. Coach, explain to us why you're calling in from your car.
Well, we had practice this morning, and then my parents unexpectedly decided to come have lunch with us on their way home from fishing. So we were out to eat lunch with my family or my parents, and I cut my lunch date short so I could join y'all today. And my children are about to join us in the car as well. So
that'll be fun.
nothing like a live audience when you're doing an interview, right, Coach?
That's right.
Oh, there they are. If you're watching on the video,
hey.
Okay, cool. Well, let's get to the Clash of Champions last Thursday. You defeated Hillgrove 13-0. Take us through that game and what this season has been like so far.
Okay, well, to start off, I'll just go through the season first. To go through the season, we thought we were coming back really strong, only losing one player. And then, of course, you know, our quarterback, Ainsley, went down. And so we had to regroup a little bit and put Corinne in there, who's normally our up back. And so that sort of drained the, you know, the emotions a little bit. Everybody was running high. And I'm like, oh, gosh, here we go. We got to start over again. So we got that going and got Corinne going pretty well and had to put a new corner in with Ava, take Ainsley's spot there. And so we started off a little rocky. You know, Corinne had to start off a lot of pressure on her just following Ainsley. And then, of course, being the defending state champions, going 19-0, no pressure whatsoever, right? So she had to get all that under control. And she's gotten better, of course, every game we've gotten, or every game we've played. And then we get to the Hillgrove game, and we were all real nervous just because they're the defending Division three champions, 7A school, we're a quad A school. So just bigger numbers to choose from. And so we were a little nervous. I was nervous, I'm not going to lie. Because we wanted to show people that we could play with the best of the best. And we got there, and first drive, we should have scored, and threw an interception at the goal line. I was like, oh, no, how's Corinne going to handle this? You know, she's not Ainsley. She's not straight-faced. She shows her emotions a little more than Ainsley does. So we had to talk about that. She did good. She held herself together. You know, our defense is really good again this year. We're still working to be as good as we were last year because we did lose a big player in Elena, but we're filling her hole pretty good. And, of course, Ainsley being out, so there's two holes there. But I just told her, if you can just keep us in the game, our defense will do their job. You just, you know, have confidence in what you're doing. And she did, and she came back and rallied real well. And, you know, we came back and scored two really quick at the end of the first half. And we know our goal is if we can get two touchdowns, our defense should be able to hold us pretty much. So that's the philosophy we have. Score two and let the defense do the rest.
So what has it been like for you to help build this program and really give something for the folks there in Brooklyn and in Southeast Bullock, something to hang their hat on? What's it been like to build this thing?
You know, it started off when they asked me to come out and be their coach, I knew I had a good group of girls to work with. If I could just get them to invest in flag football, I know that we could be good. Coaching most of them in middle school helped, had a relationship with them already. So we got them out, and in our parent meeting, we basically told the girls and them that I was here. We're here to win a state championship. That's what we're going to do. And you got to buy in, just believe in us. It's going to be a little crazy ride because we're all learning. The state of Georgia is still trying to learn. There's going to be some crazy things happen. And, you know, we should all got to be on the same page and agree to disagree sometimes. So we all bought in. And when we started winning, I guess we never really lost. So when we kept winning, people kept getting more and more involved in our program. And at the beginning, our community really thought it was more like a powder puff. We're just going to come out there and hang out. And then they were like, oh, God, this is serious. Our community bought in, and we try to be more visual out in the community and, you know, go out and get them come in and play, or, you know, try to get people out to our games and stuff. And but building the program, it's been tough because you do have to share athletes. And I do give credit to my administration because that was one thing that I said, if I'm going to coach, I get to choose from the best of the best in our school. There's no limitations. And so that was part of the deal when I came on board, was everybody that wanted to play flag football would get that opportunity to play, whether they played any other fall sport or winter sport, we would make it work. So kudos to the coaching staff of every female staff at fall and winter at Southeast for working together to make sure we could get everybody on the field that we needed to be successful. And that is one reason we are very successful, because I do get to choose from the best athletes in my school to come play. But once you start winning, of course, everybody wants to play, so that makes it a little easier. We have really tried to go out in our community this year. Our rec department is their second year as well as during flag football, so we went to a couple of practices. They came to some of our games, and on Saturday we had an invitational, and then we have been out, you know, cheering them on at their games, trying to make that a little, you know, grow it out there in the sport in the rec department. So to help build our program as well, we're looking to try to get a middle school team, club team going. The problem is we don't really have anybody else to play, so we're working on that. Some other coaches around us has agreed to maybe start looking into that for next year, just, you know, maybe not at a big level, just a, you know, very small level next year to hopefully get them going. So it won't be as hard when they get to high school on us. Cause that, to me, that's one of the hardest things is getting everybody on board. Like today when we practiced, we were missing all of our softball and volleyball players. So when we put in a new play or try to go over defense and half of them aren't there, it makes practice really, really hard, but it's been fun.
My last question for you, Coach, you were 19-0 last year, 7-0 this year. So you're 26-0 and you win a state championship in your first year as a program. What was that like? I know, John, my math was right. Wait, that's right.
No, but it's like, but no, I'm just, you know, when you're giving her all these numbers, it's like, yeah, Marcy's like, no pressure. I know. It's just like, you know, we haven't lost.
I was just making sure my math was right. Okay. We all know that's not my strength. Okay. So 26-0, you win a state championship in your first season. What was that like? And what is it also like to coach with your husband, Nick?
Well, if you were at practice today, you would have been laughing because the girls were laughing at us too. He was actually at practice today because he coaches middle school football. They actually have a game today at 5 due to a weather lightning delay last week. So he was actually there the whole practice today. And normally we split it up. He'll go to middle school practice and then he'll come over. He's in charge of the defense. So he'll go over defensive stuff while I'm doing offense. And then when he gets there, we sort of switch it up. So that's how it normally works. Because when I start coaching basketball, he'll do defense. And then when I come from basketball practice, I'll take over the offensive part. So it's like a tag team effort there. But we, on GPTV the other day or whatever we were on GPB, he threw his visor at me because I was like, I told the quarterback exactly what I wanted her to do no matter what. I said, I just want you to do it. And he threw his visor at me. I'm like, oh, God, you didn't get on TV, did you? He's like, no. It's okay. It's a running joke. My girls, they make fun of us all the time. My own children, they're like, how many visors does daddy throw at mom today? You know? Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard, living together, working together. At least we don't teach in the same school, so that makes it a little bit better. I teach at the elementary school, he's at the middle school, so we don't have to see each other all day, every day. But it is nice, too, because coaching meeting, we're at the house, we don't have to go to the office and do it, and we do have our disagreements, but we give and take. We really do. He listens to me. Sometimes I yell at him. Sometimes he yells at me, but we leave it all at the field when we come home most of the time. I think we only brought it home one time. And I was like, get over it. It's fine. It doesn't matter. We won. Who cares? So, but as far as going, winning undefeated last year, that set the bar really, really, really high. Not many programs do that, especially go undefeated without even a tie. In the first year was very, very, it just really set the bar high. Now, you know, I do know some people like, gosh, we're not winning as many points as we did last year at this time of the year. But everybody in the state of Georgia has got better. We've already played better teams than we played last year. And that was the goal. We got to play better teams so we can get better instead of just waiting to the playoffs to reach these good teams. So we like played Pace Academy, played Long. Then we played Hillgrove. We have Greenbrier, who's supposed to be coming in next week, but I got to call them today. They moved the tackle football game to our Thursday when we were supposed to have their game. So we're going to see if we can get that rescheduled because they're a good team too. So it is, the expectations are high, set high. It was set high when we came in as the coaching staff. We told them, you know, this is what we're here to do. We're here to win, and we're going to play the best of the best to win. And so that's what we really want to do. And just to keep that bar high is you got to give and take a little bit on that situation too, because the pressure is on the girls. They did feel it at the beginning, especially when Ainsley went down. And then Korean feels a lot of pressure. So sometimes we just have to have light practices and just goof around and stuff just so they know that, you know, it's still a game. We can still have fun because there is a lot of pressure.
Marcy Cochran, co-head coach of the Southeast Bullock Flag football team, undefeated as a program, part of Clash of Champions last week on GPB. Marcy, thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for ducking into your car and during lunch, after practice, to hang out with us here on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Once again, great to see you up at West Forsyth, and continued luck the rest of the way this season. We'll be keeping an eye on things down there in Southeast Bullock, down there in Brooklyn.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Y'all have a great day.
Luna's back to wrap this up. Great to hear from Coach Cochran.
Luna and wants to leave the room. Is what Luna wants to do.
Look at her face. She looks miserable.
She wants to leave. She's had enough of her cameo. So if she wants to go, let her go.
I'm forcing her to do this wrap up. Okay, so great to hear from Coach Cochran. If you're a flag football fan, we will be having a stream game every single Thursday, including this Thursday, on GBB, gbb.org/sports, the GBB Sports app, everywhere that it was last week. I think we're streaming on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Twitch and all the different places, so you can't miss it. We will be announcing the game very soon, so also follow us on social media at GBB Sports for that announcement.
Mm-hmm. And Luna still wants to leave, by the way.
Nope.
Yep.
She wants loves flag football. Big.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure she loves flag football. She just doesn't like being a part of the video version of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Football Fridays in Georgia. You mentioned Thursday, Friday this week. It is another huge region battle, probably another de facto region championship in Region 2-7A. Carrollton and Westlake from Westlake, recruiting 2022, starts things off at 7 o'clock. Kickoff with Carrollton, who comes in at 8-0. Westlake, who comes in at 5-2, 1-0 in region play. Carrollton right now 2-0 in region play. This one will probably decide the region title there in region 2. Juju Lewis, the freshman quarterback, Roy King, and Carrollton looking forward to seeing him. And we've seen Westlake already this year, the dominant performance that they had when Crisp came north from Cordele. So we know how big those offensive and defensive lines are. And when you have a player like Avion Terrell for Westlake and Rico Zachary, this one's going to be a big test for a freshman quarterback, I think.
Yeah, Carrollton's two region wins, East Coweta and Pebble Brook, and then the Lions have defeated Pebble Brook as well. So both kind of winning that same region matchup, so we will see. And our web game, Region 6-7A showdown between Denmark, who's 5-2, 1-1 in region play, Lambert undefeated, 7-0, 2-0 in region play. So John, this is likely for the leader in that region, correct? In the winner?
Yeah, because Milton right now is in between both of them, the way that things are lined up. Milton right now, 2-0, 4-3 on the year. But you've also got South Forsyth, who right now is at 1-1, 4-3 on the season. And West Forsyth and Forsyth Central have lost their first two region games. So they've got some work to do if they want to try to work their way into the 3-4. But right now, everybody's bunched up with a couple of games left in the regular season. You've got three games left for all of these teams as they chase after the region title there in Region 6. But yeah, Lambert right now could make a statement beating Denmark and chasing after that third win of the year, going undefeated in the region at 3-0.
Awesome. Well, our staff is not fully here with us. It's just you and I, John.
But oh, that's right. Yeah, we've got to do the staff whip around, yeah.
We still have to do the staff whip around, unfortunately.
Go ahead and say why. Go ahead and say why it's unfortunate.
Lakeside, Decatur, and Central Macon were off.
Yep.
Darlington remains the only undefeated team in the group. They're 8-0 after winning 34-14 over Pepperell. Mm-hmm. Parkview beat Archer 33-7 to go 6-1. Yep. And my Trojans.
Yes.
Lost to Alpharetta 22-21.
No. Well, actually, that's true, but you can also add another
70-21 in their 3-4 on the year.
Yeah, so Alpharetta knocked off Lassiter 70-21. So and you know, by the way, thanks to our friends at the Georgia High School Football Daily, because you look on the scoreboard and the Alpharetta Lassiter score, it's first. Well, that's what they did it alphabetically, but still by winner, but still out.
I'll have to give Todd a call.
Yeah. So, excuse me, sir. You'll have to do things in a non-alphabetical order when it comes to teams winning, as it just so happens. Yeah. Alpharetta was the most first alphabetical team there. So Alpharetta right before
Apple. Most first alphabetical team. On that note, John.
Alpharetta and then Appling. So there you go. Most first alphabetical.
All right, guys. I think that's a show. I think Luna wants a treat.
Yeah, Luna's out the door and wants a treat. So
can we kick off? Join us Thursday, noon, GBB Sports Facebook Live for our previews and our recaps. That's been a fun show this year.
Yep. And so let's see, for Jake the Snake, for King James, for Ambassador Jeremy, for Commander Sandy, and for us, I'm just John, and she's Hannah. She's the brains of the operation. That's another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Play safe, everybody. Enjoy your games. See you soon.